Yeah. Give my own little commentary.
Okay. My friends. You know, there are a lot of guides here. And I wish I knew every one of you individually. And I'm with Hashem, I'm going to. I've been waiting 18 years to meet you. Some of you I already met. And some of you, Mr. Hashem, over time, you can feel free to introduce yourself to me. Or you can ask your Shana Becher, who's with me. I'd like to meet you. Ellie Hirsch. Ellie It. Is that IT at the end? OT. We'll get there. So, Mr. Gates, you want to know? Ali. It's my name, still being Homer of Ali. Whatever it's short for, Alfonso, Alfredo, whatever you want, alligator, whatever you want it to be short for, it's short for. And Irving. So, whatever you want to call me, you can call me Rav Ali, Rav Irmin, whatever you feel comfortable with, either one is fine. That's just to remember my name. Now, you fellas are very intelligent people. You were retired in high school. You learned a lot. And the mark of intelligent people is that they're able to see the depth and the profundity even in the simplest things in life. So, you're getting chairs. All right, that's great. So, I'm going to do something that's going to be a little bit memorable, and I hope you'll forgive me. I beg your indulgence. Yes, you won't stampede me. I just wanted to share with you one of my favorite texts. Green eggs and ham. Now, I'm dead serious. I want you to pay careful attention to this, and I'm going to read you this book now. Yossi, you with me? I'm going to read Green Eggs and Ham, and I want you to think about the deeper meaning of green eggs and ham. But it has to be quiet. This is great. Not only that, but it even has various drawings throughout the pages, which I don't know if you guys can see so well. Little scribbles that I myself made on the book. However, I mean, not now. I don't usually read it now anymore. This book is about my age. So it's 51. But So one more second. I'm just going to lock the door, and then I'm going to start working. There's room for a good shoot. There's always room. It says in Yerushalayim, there's always room. Okay? Terrific. Great. Now we're going to lock. Anyone who wants to come in, you're going to have to come in through the window. Now I want you to listen carefully to what my Rebbe or Dr. Smith has to say. Ladies and gentlemen, now please pay careful attention. But no talking. I ask no talking. The book we have to read. You come to Israel to read books.
All right.
Sorry. Go to the harov and the shiurim there that are open. It says over here, at the local girls' school. It says over here like this. I am Sam. You see, there's a picture of Sam. I am Sam. I am Sam. Sam, I am. Sam, otherwise known as Shmuel. Great. That Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. He doesn't like green eggs and ham. Now, is it clear that he doesn't like green eggs and ham? Obviously not, because that's basically the theme of this paper. Green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? He's pointing. Maybe you'll eat green eggs and ham over here. Maybe you'll eat green eggs and ham over there. I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Sam I Am. Now, I see, I don't remember actually reading this as a child, but I see I got pretty upset at this point because I knew he didn't like it, and I started scribbling over the words, like, be quiet already. But okay, listen, I was only a kid, I don't usually scribble on books anymore. Would you like them in a house? Maybe green eggs and ham aren't good for you outside of the house, but maybe inside of the house you'd like them in a house. Would you like them with a mouse? Oh, here's a picture of a mouse. No one disturbs comments. I'll give the running commentary. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. Beautiful. I knew you guys were smart. Would you eat them in a box? He's offering them to him in a box. In other words, maybe it's just the location. You want them in a box, he'll be happy to eat green eggs and ham. Would you eat them with a fox? Here's a picture of a fox. For those that don't know, I didn't know foxes were pink. But okay, you got a pink fox. Not in a box, not with a fox. Not in a house, not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them.
There I am.
Beautiful. Also, you see that he doesn't like green eggs and ham, but he's a punk. Could you, in a car, get a picture of a car, eat them, here they are. He's begging him. Look, you have green eggs. These are the green eggs. They look like sunny side up. I don't know, sunny. I don't know, what's green? What's green? That's not, the sun isn't green. The sun's yellow. What do you say? No. What would be green that you could put something up? Rock side up. I don't know. I could not in a car. So now we get to a very important turning point. I would call this, if I were a college professor, as opposed to just being a professor in a Talmudic academy in Jerusalem, I would call this a watershed event in Sam's life. Listen to this Taina now. Listen to this claim he makes. It's two guys. Last year we learned Baba Basra. So Shanabet, guys, no, you make a strong claim, you have to be able to answer that claim. So until now, he's just been offering him green eggs and ham. He says, I don't like green eggs and ham. So he says, I'll give you that. Listen to this. You may like them, you will see. You may like them in a tree. He's not just offering them to him, but he's telling him, maybe you'll like it. And then it's in a tree. I would not, could not in a tree. Not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them. You guys got me a little more energy. I do not like them. Beautiful. Well done. A train. A train. Look, there's a picture of a train. A train. Could you? Would you? On a train? These are nice old-fashioned trains. Here's the conductor, and here are all the people. Oh, they're all wearing hats, and the woman also. Wow, it's almost like Mea Shearim. Great. Not on a train, not in a tree. Not in a car, Sam, let me be. I would not, could not in a box. I could not, would not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them. He's a good memory. He remembers all the places he opened. I will not eat them here or there. I will not eat them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them.
Sam, I am.
Beautiful. Say, in the dark, here in the dark, romantic. Would you, could you in the dark? I would not, could not in the dark. He's not impressed. The dark. He doesn't want to eat them in the dark. Because you see, the train is going so. As I'm thinking, I feel like I'm in the New York City subway system. You know, there's no air there. You're in there. And he's saying to him, at the end of the day, there's nothing to do here except for look at people reading their daily news. But at least eat green eggs and ham. He says, no, I would not, could not in the dark. Oh, that's it. But there'd be a rhyme. Bye-bye. Would you, could you in the rain? Baruch Hashem, it has begun to rain. I would not, could not in the rain, not in the dark, not in the train, not in the car, not in the tree. I do not like them, Sam, you see, not in a house, not in a box, not with a mouse, not with a fox. I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. You do not like green eggs and ham? You think that's not a good question anymore, but he says to him, you do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam, I am. Okay, those of you getting impatient, we're getting towards the end. Could you, would you, with a goat? So here we have a picture of a goat. Doesn't look so much like a goat. But a goat's a personality. I would not, could not with a goat. Would you, could you, on a boat? Oy, 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 the train went off the tracks, and now they're about to go in a boat. Would you, could you, in on a boat? I would not, could not, oh my, look at everybody flying over there. Everybody's flying. I would not, could not, on a boat, I will not with a goat. I will, by the way, there are two will nots. I was making a second, really says, will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark. Not in a tree. Not, you know, I feel like I'm at the Pesach Seder. You know, when you keep repeating, I cut me all day. I keep saying it over. I'm doing that now. Not in a car you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. The anywhere over here is emphasized. I do not like green eggs and ham. That's it. He doesn't like green eggs. Have you done the idea? He doesn't like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. You do not like them, so you say? Try them. Try them. And you may. Try them and you may, I say. Sam, if you will let me be, I will try them, you will see. You know, it's like your mother. You just keep wearing her down, and you ask her over and over and over again. So poor Sam is worn down. Finally, he says, he gives in. He can't take all the tvetchi, and he says, I'll do it for you. Sam, if you will let me be, I will try them, you will see. Look at him. Look at this poor guy. He's just run down. He's going to try them. He's going to take the green eggs and ham, and he's going to eat them. So Sam has a fork, a civilized person, and takes a piece of green egg, and he's about to put it in his mouth. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam. I am. And I would eat them in a boat. And I would eat them with a goat. And I would eat them in the rain, and in the dark, and on a train, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good. So good, you see. So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a... And I will eat them in the house, and I will eat them with a... And I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere. Great. And now, gentlemen, we come to the end. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you, thank you. Sam, I am. Beautiful. Now, if you look over here, he is so happy. A round of applause for Sam. Come on. Beautiful, beautiful. Sam, he's holding the plate on one finger over there. You know, you twirl a basketball on one finger. So he's holding the tray on one finger, and it's licked clean. You don't see anything green on this tray. He cleaned off the whole plate. Now, there's a very deep lesson in this book, of course. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that Rabbi Dr. Seuss meant it, but there's certainly a lesson here. And the lesson, I think, is that things in life which don't look very good, they don't look appetizing, but really, if you try them, they're so good. They're so delicious. Doesn't have to be necessarily food. It can also be, to play some type of game. Yeah, we're kind of telling you about this game. It doesn't look like such a fun game, but once you start playing, it could be addictive. It could be a lot of fun. Anything is like that. It's like, a person is, you watch somebody smoking. If you don't smoke, if you've never smoked, and you see a guy who looks like a chimney, he just has smoke coming in and smoke coming out and smoke, it doesn't look like so much fun. But if you ask people who smoke, they love it. I'm not saying a person should smoke. I'm saying the opposite. A person shouldn't smoke. But it doesn't look like fun. And really, for these people, they find it fun. So, that is on that level. And then there's the converse. What is that? That sometimes things that look like lots of fun are really not good at all. It looks great. It looks appetizing. But it's really not good for you. Where do you see that? So you see that already, if I may take you back to the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, there were lots and lots and lots of trees. And there was a mitzvah. What was the mitzvah? This is not a well-known fact. The mitzvah was to eat from all the trees. That was the mitzvah. And God said, there's two mitzvahs. One is to eat from all the trees. Eat whatever you want. And the other one is not to eat from the tree of good and bad. Eitz hadas tov v'ra. That was the losasa. Why? Because if you eat from it, you're going to die. Very simply, if you're ever wondering, if anyone's ever attended a funeral, and you're wondering what you're doing at this funeral, the answer is very simple. You're at this funeral because they ate from the tree of the knowledge, the tree of good and bad. Otherwise, there'd be no funerals. Nobody would die. Why did they eat from the tree of knowledge? Very simple. Pasuk tells us. Because Chava went up to the tree, and guess what? Listen to this. This is great. This is when it happens. Vatera Aisha, the woman looked, Kitova eats lamachal. It looks like it's really tasty. It's a delight to the eye. Sometimes you see, I know somebody once who saw this delicious looking piece of cake, and they took a bite out of it, and it turns out that it wasn't really food. It was like poisonous. They had to call the doctors. They were okay in the end. But it just looked like cake. But it was only a prop. It was like a centerpiece. That it should look like there's a semi-eaten piece of cake. So she took a bite. And it was delicious. It was a tavel einayim. Look at that cake. Oh, with the richness, with the fillings, with the coverings, all that stuff. That's what the tree looked like. V'nechmar eitzla haskil. She said, if I eat it, it's going to make me so smart. Everything is good about it. It looks like it's good to eat. And it's a delight to the eyes. And it's going to make me so wise. So here you have it. And that's the converse that I want to talk about for a minute. That something looks very good. And we know that it's just the opposite. And it could be that a person even tries it. And it feels good. And yet it's the worst thing for him. To go back to our example before. When a person actually starts to smoke. And they say, in the olden days, they didn't know it wasn't healthy. Every male smoked. And they thought, this is great. This is unbelievable. And a person doesn't realize that every time he's taking a draft from that cigarette, he's shortening his life by a few minutes. And he's putting himself in serious danger, like they have in the Israeli cigarette boxes. That every time you smoke a cigarette, 43 cancerous agents are penetrating your body. Now, anybody in this room can offer me $10 million to put 43 cancerous agents in my body, and I wouldn't do it. And I know people who do it for free, and they pay money. Why? Because for them, that's the Eitz HaDaas Tov HaRa. It looks so good. They've done it, I'm saying, after they've already done it. It feels good. It relaxes them. It's cool. So here you see, that's something which we all know for a fact. The Surgeon General said so. It's terrible for you, and yet, people will go for it because it feels good, it looks good. And you have that a lot of times with foods. You have a food which might look tasty, but we know, especially as a person gets older, they have to start worrying about fat and they have to worry about cholesterol. So it looks good and it tastes good, but in the end, it's really harming their body. And the stuff that doesn't look so appetizing, what about the stuff that doesn't look, they don't want to take it? And it's the same thing, let's say, with women. So you see a girl, and she's really pretty. So we're all normal guys. When you see a pretty girl, you want to get to know her a little bit better. I always know, whenever I walk from the yeshiva, I live here in the old city, I walk from my house to the yeshiva, and I always see, so it's all the whole square in this month, is guys running after girls. They look around, how does she look? She's pretty. And then when they find a girl, they think it's pretty good. And I'll prove it to you, it's because she's, let's say a girl, imagine a girl you like. You say, no, it's not because of her looks, it's because of her personality. Let's say she looked like a door. She looked like this door. Imagine, remind everyone their mind. The girl they like, and she looks like this door. She walks and she talks and she has feelings. Yeah, or how about? She looks like him. Okay? You like her? You like her? Maybe you won't step on her if she falls down. But to ask her out on a date, spend money on her in an amusement park, that you're not willing to do. Because it has a lot to do with the way she looks. So what happens? In today's world, a girl looks pretty, and people get interested in her. And the truth is that it's just the opposite. Usually, all too often, the very, very pretty girl is going to be bad for you. How do you see that? So, I assume that not everyone here is a perfect tzaddik. So you've probably seen various movies. Now, who's portrayed in these various movies? Young women, usually Gentile, who are in various states of undress and quite attractive. What are they doing on the movie screen? They're being paid millions of dollars in order to get you to spend. How much does the movie cost now? It's only $10. $6 at Tony. All right. Anyway, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. To get you to pay $15 in order to see this woman in various... In other words, she's supposed to be attractive. Is she pretty? There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I've seen the movies also. A lot of these ladies are very, very pretty. And I remember being a young boy, 8 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, and wondering to myself, maybe she's going to see me one day walking down the street, and she's going to take a liking to me, and maybe we'll get married and live happily ever after. She's so pretty. Wouldn't it be great to be married to such a pretty woman? I'll give an example of an actress who everyone considers pretty, but thank God I can't even name one who's under 50. Good? Bon. Tonight, you know their names, and you know what they look like. They're pretty. Now, let's look for a moment at these very pretty women's personal lives. One of two things happened. Either they have long, protracted relationships with a male who's also excited about the way they look. They look so good. They look great. And then they break up. You can read it about in National Enquirer. It's true, it's not true, it doesn't matter. It's true. They really end up breaking up. Or, alternatively, they get married. They have a big wedding. And you know, they do it on some desert island, so nobody will know about it. But, of course, Entertainment Weekly or one of these shows gets a hold of it, and then they fly there, and they have a hidden camera, and then they show them going down to the island, and everything's great, and they throw rice on them, and you think, oh, this is what they call in Talmudic works, kinna. You're so jealous. How did he get such a good-looking one? How did he get? How long do these marry? It's not that these people get divorced. They all get divorced. Every last one of them, 99% of them. How long do the marriages usually last for? Very short period of time. So much so that usually it comes out afterwards that the guy already got tired of her before the wedding. He was already cheating on her before the wedding. And then afterwards, and then she found out, and then she was cheating on him. And then at the end of the story is they end up, they're married for a year. They're married for 2 years. They're married for 3 years. But how none of these marriages ever last? Why is that? Reason's very simple. Because she looks so good, and he thinks that if she looks good, she must be good. But we know that in spite of the fact that she looks good, she's poison. This woman is poison. She looks so pretty, and she's poisonous. I'm not saying, God forbid, that every pretty girl is poisonous. But what I am saying is that all too often, people just go after their eyes. If it looks great, it must be great. If it's fun, there must be a positive value to it. But we know it's not true. We know just the opposite. Now here's the secret, and here's the secret that we learn from Sam. Sometimes, something in this world doesn't look so appetizing at all. It doesn't look interesting. And yet, if you try it, maybe it'll be good. Maybe you can remember you were a child. I assume the vast majority of you have Jewish mothers. So what's a Jewish mother's greatest pleasure? To see her son. It rhymes with feet and teeth. Eat! Your mother loves when you eat. Come on. Finish off your plate, my son. Okay, I don't know if your mother speaks like an old Yiddish speaking lady, but she certainly wants you to finish your plate. Oh, and you eat. Oh, good, my son is healthy. You have Jewish mothers. They want you to eat. So she would make this dish, and you weren't really interested, and she would say to you, the famous motherly words, try it. Try it, and maybe you'll like it. Maybe we have a memory like this. We didn't want to eat it. We didn't want to touch it. It looked disgusting. And then one day, there was nothing else to eat in the house. We were starved by our parents. 4.5 days later, we were worn down, and we said, I'll try it. And you put the food in your mouth, and hey, it tastes good. It doesn't look so good. It doesn't look so appetizing. But it tastes wonderful. Yes, it can also be that way when you meet a person. It could be that a person doesn't look so great. It could be a girl. We used the example of a girl before. It could be she's not a movie star. But get to know her. You talk to her for a few minutes, and you see, there's depth. You see, it's enjoyable to be with this person. What is the relationship between how a girl looks and how much fun it is to be with her? Just about nothing. After the first 15 minutes, you get used to that's the way she looks. And then, whether or not she has personality, that's what I once heard from a great rabbinic authority. He tells pretty girls, he says, they shouldn't open their mouth. Because everything is good until you start hearing them speak. And you see, there's nothing coming out. It's all out here. They don't have anything to say. It could be they're not intelligent. It could be they're very shallow people. It could be a million different things. But you meet somebody who doesn't look so attractive. You get to know them, and they could be a very, very special person. And you can really love such a person. And that's what really, if you think the average grandmother, great grandmother walking around, her husband loves her. Why, does her husband blind? Just because he's 70 doesn't mean he's blind. No, but he knows that his 69-year-old wife has a lot more to her than a 20-year-old girl. Because he's met her and he knows her depth. As opposed to people who just always look again for that external attraction, and then they drop wife after wife after wife, always going for younger and younger and younger, no matter how old they get, and they're never happy. So that is, as far as that's concerned, it's also people. You come to Israel, and you see a lot of funny people dressed in funny ways. Like, for example, I walk into the room, what's going through your minds? Who can know? Probably another boring rabbi. Now, I'm not going to deny that. But what I will say is that what are the odds of me getting up and reading a Samayam book? No, not maybe exactly the way you expect it. And it's like that with a lot of people. You see a guy with a hat and a beard and shuffling a lot. But you get to know him, and you see, wow, that's a really normal person. You can dress like you're living in Poland in the 1800s, and you can be a really cool, normal guy. And at the same time, sometimes you meet someone, and they're dressed really cool and normal, and you say, this guy is nuts. This guy is absolutely crazy. Even though they're dressed like I always like to watch on the news, when they have these rapists and these murderers, and they go to court, what do they look like in court? They look like businessmen, like people who run hedge funds. They come to court in a suit and in a tie, usually, very often. Why do they do that? Why do these lowlifes, I have no words to describe these people, who might be the worst pesha, how do you say that in English? Worst crimes imaginable, crazy serial killers. But they come to court, quickly their lawyer shoots them off, sends them to Mea Sharm, to a good Mea Sharm barber, like the guy I went to today. He says to the barber, Stein. What does Stein mean? Stein means don't bother with the scissors, baby. Just take out that razor, put it on number two, and that's what they do to you. Give him a Stein. No more long hair. No more long hair. He gives him a Stein. He has a beard. Maybe he trims it. Maybe he shaves it off. He gets him a nice suit. Also, he can't wear a short sleeve shirt because of all the tattoos. Yes? So, and then he comes into court, and they try to pass him off as being a respectable citizen. Because look at how he looks. And yet we know that behind this fancy suit and the nice new haircut is a murderer. So that is this world. This world is, it's not what it looks like only. So why do I bring this up? What are you driving at? I'll tell you what I'm driving at. What I'm driving at is Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh. Welcome to Netiv Aryeh. This doesn't look like fun. I'll be honest with you. I came to Israel myself. On a personal note, you'll forgive me. 18 years ago, I came here as a Shana Aleph guy. I was wearing... second... think... Moshe... what's your last name again?
Weinblatt.
Moshe Weinblatt. No, I was thinking of your brother. I was wearing a New York Mets t-shirt, just like Mr. Weinblatt. I was coming off a World Series victory. I was flying high. It was a long time ago. They haven't won one since. And I don't think they're going to. I think another 18 years they're going to pass. They're not going to win another one. Every year, good on paper, you think it's going to be the season. And every year they mess up. I can't. They destroyed my life, those people. Anyway, so I came in. You came in with your New York Mets t-shirt. And I was all ready. I was all ready to find any way I can to avoid learning. It didn't look like fun. Didn't look like fun. I saw these men, again, who were out of the shtetl in Poland or Russia from 100 years ago, with the long beards and the side curls, and they were going to try to get me to learn. And I said, it's not going to happen. They're going to try to brainwash me. Not in a million years. It only took a year. They did it. But not in a million years. It's not going to happen. It's not fun. I tried it in high school. I remember most of us went to yeshiva high schools. I looked down the list. You go to yeshiva high school and the Rebbe got up in front of the class and he tried to tell you about a Gemara. But it wasn't interesting. Maybe you learned Bava Kama about oxen and gory and you just do it. And then at the end of the year, maybe you had a test, see how to quickly, or maybe you read through the art scroll. In order to pass the test, you can finally leave the misery of high school. But it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun. And then there was davening. I said, oh no, not davening. Not davening. Such a long text. So many words to say. And they're going to try to get me to say all the words and not talk in the middle. No running out in the middle. No kiddush calls. No parties. Nothing. Just no. It's not going to happen. So you do it. I have to resist. You got to resist. I have to resist because it's not fun. How can somebody make me do something I don't enjoy? You know the pleasure principle, David? People want to enjoy themselves. People want fun. Everybody wants fun. So it's not going to be fun. and they're going to try to get me to say brachas. And then the worst. Only a sentence of death would be worse. The two big words, S-N. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What's S-N? Shut it back, guys. You know. S-N. It's not happening. Shomer Nagia. Shomer Nagia. Not in a million years. If they expect me to be like those crazy people, you know, can't shake a girl's hand on Shabbos or kiss her aloha goodbye, it's not going to happen in a million. What are they trying to make me? Some sort of fanatic? So, your year progresses, and this is what I'm telling you at the beginning of the year. Open up the mind, open up the hearts, and consider the following proposal. Then maybe it's fun. Maybe, like Sam found out in Green Eggs and Ham, even though it doesn't look appetizing, and I don't claim for a moment that it looks appetizing. It doesn't look, what do you see? You see a text, you see a bunch of guys, some of whom you knew in high school, who were normal, at least in high school, but now they're Shanabek guys, never what happened to them. And they come to yeshiva, and you see them sitting every morning, they're all excited, and they get out this Aramaic, and the Hebrew, and there's no punctuation, at least on the non-art school side, there's no punctuation, and long, and then the Rashi script, and another Rashi, and who cares? The only thing that a person could possibly care about at your age, about Kedushin, is that you know a really pretty girl, as we discussed before, or maybe now you're reconsidering the girls who aren't the best looking, but at least, you know, she should be somewhat good looking, and maybe I'm going to want to marry her one day, but I don't have to learn this boring Gemara, because the rabbi who's going to marry us all, he already learned the Gemara, you don't have to worry about it, I can do it for you. You don't have to learn Kedushin, I learned that love myself, I can marry you off to the girl. So what do I need to learn it for? I wouldn't mind marrying you off, it's $500. But what do I need to? What do I need? What? Put your hand in his pocket, answer the phone, find out who it is, and open that phone, let them listen to the shiur. What? Do you need to learn it for? What do you need to learn it for? What do you need to learn it for? I'll tell you why. The answer is that it's fun. It's a good time. You hear that? And I'll prove to you that it's fun. Last year, we had boys who came in to yeshiva, very guys you know possibly, and they went through the most difficult, some would say, the most difficult mesechta to learn in Shas. The most of all of them is a mesechta called Bava Basra, which is this big. Anybody's father's a doctor, you've seen medical textbooks, it's six medical textbooks with a lot of small Rashi print. In Kedushin we're spoiled, we have Rashi, who says things in a few words. In Bava Basra they have the Rashbam. The Rashbam was an essayist. He didn't just explain a line of Gemara, he wrote an essay on each line of the Gemara. It's a beautiful, beautiful commentary. But it's very difficult. And there were guys last year, it blows my mind. This is the proof is in the pudding. They went, you don't have to take my word for it, you can meet them, you can speak to them, you can hear about them. They went through 175 pages. Now when I say a page, I mean two sides of a page. So what's 175 times two? 350 pages of Gemara. Unbelievable! There is only one way that they could accomplish that. Only one way. Usher, you with me? The only way they could accomplish that is if they enjoyed it. The only way you can learn, three, you're listening in the back. Hello? You have a smiley face. I like smileys. If you have 350 pages of Gemara, the only way you can accomplish that is if you enjoy it. So when you learn about this book, about this gadol, about this great teacher and pedagogue, Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham, you know that it might not look good on the surface. You can afterwards, everybody can check out what a Bava Basra looks like, and it might not look so appetizing to read through the whole thing twice. However, they found it fun. When you come to yeshiva, that's what yeshiva's for. That learning should begin to be enjoyable. The only way it's going to become enjoyable is if you do it. You do it with an open heart and an open mind. And you say, maybe I can enjoy this. And if you can enjoy this, then you will have something that you can use for the rest of your life. That's going to give meaning and significance to every single moment of your life. Once you have that text. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I was sitting once in a pizza shop. I went to MTA, so whoever did knows the pizza shop. So I was sitting there, and there was a guy who was going off to Israel. And I'll never forget the bracha a friend of mine gave me. A friend of mine said to him, his name was Charlie. He said, Charlie, don't get religious. A bracha for the way. Charlie, please do me a favor. Don't get religious. What was the end of the story? I love these endings. The guy who gave him the bracha ended up with a beard down to his belly button. True story. He did. He got very religious. Okay, he lost it afterwards. But the idea was that at the time he was just afraid. He said, Charlie, do me a favor, please. Just don't get religious. Now, the question isn't, one should be religious. One shouldn't be religious. One should be Shomer Negiah. One shouldn't be Shomer Negiah. That's not really a question. Because the answer is answered by ourselves. If we learn to enjoy learning Torah, then we're going to want to do it automatically. And you're not going to have somebody getting up and trying to convince you. And if you don't learn to enjoy it, so all the convincing in the world, all the Rabbina, who is afraid of Rabbina? A little bit, a tiny bit afraid of Rabbina. Great. All the Rabbinas in the world. If you had a Rabbina following him or you around like this guy, he's not going to be able to get you to learn. I've been in this yeshiva for many, many years. And I've seen it over and over and over again. Guys who want to learn are going to learn with Rabbina or without Rabbina. Guys who don't want to learn, ultimately, aren't going to learn, even if Rabbina's around, because we all know everyone can play games. There are ways to get around it. So that is as far as learning Torah. So open up your mind. Say, maybe it'll be fun, like Sam. Remember, Sam is our leader. In addition, there's prayer. Prayer not only can be fun, but should be fun. If you don't enjoy davening, you're missing out on a whole lot, especially if you're one of those guys who daven. But you can learn in yeshiva to enjoy praying. Because we all know that it's the right thing to do. And our grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers did it. And therefore, it's important. But we're not going to do it right unless we learn to enjoy it. So you learn to enjoy davening. And you learn to enjoy all of the mitzvahs. You learn to enjoy a Shabbos the Jewish way. And you learn to enjoy Yontif and the Yom Noroim and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And it's not supposed to be torturous. Yom Kippur isn't supposed to be torturous. Yom Kippur is supposed to be an uplifting day. It's supposed to be exciting. And that really applies to everything in Yiddishkeit, everything you've heard about, everything you've seen. It's just a matter of trying it. So really, everything I've said today is encapsulated in one pasuk in Tehillim. One pasuk. Pasuk says, Tamu uru ki tov Hashem. Taste and see that God is good. You have to taste. If you don't taste, well, somebody's going to try to convince me God is good. Everything God tells me not to do looks good. Most things. It looks good. The Gentile girl looks good. The unkosher food looks good. So it says like this. Tamu uru. If you taste it, it's a guarantee. An Ali Irvin guarantee I'm signing. I have a pen in my pocket and wants me to sign up because I signed it because I promised him a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That you'll see Kitov Hashem, and the Torah says it over and over and over again. It says that this is what's really supposed to make you happy. God created the world, He wrote the book. He knows what's supposed to make you happy. So therefore the question isn't, you know, how much do I have to do? Oh, it's such a pain. The question is, am I willing to open up myself, to allow myself to learn to enjoy being Jewish? And the only way to do that, gentlemen, is with Simcha. If to us Hashem b'simcha, if Hashem b'simcha, b'lecham navir lalale, b'lecham navir lalale, bye-bye. If to us Hashem b'simcha, if to us Hashem b'simcha, guys, we have 3 minutes tomorrow. I have a problem. It's not yet cool to see me. It's not cool. I don't want my friends to see me. Already, it's right in the beginning. You just got here a couple of days ago and you're already flipping out because of that crazy rabbi. I need for 2 minutes to just indulge me. I know it's not cool, but you're doing it as a favor to a man, to a nice guy, a guy who already likes you even though he doesn't even know you so well. If the West is beautiful. We're not Marv now upstairs. Can't wait to meet you. Thanks, thank you. I'll tell me your name.
Oh, you're wrong, by the way. You're right,
Jake? Oh, wrong. It's a sore point with me.
I love you.
They're better seen bumpy. They're fake teach.
Gary, now, I don't think teach you enough.